There are times in our lives where we know that we are called to do something that will leave the world different, where we can feel it in our bones. This weekend is called Pentecost in the life of the church, and it's this time where the Holy Spirit, our guide and our advocate, fell upon this Jesus movement in a new way and gave birth to the church. And so in the chat, I'd encourage you to take just a minute and type out a little message about how you would describe the Holy Spirit. I love the Spirit because it's like this wild and adventurous part of God. And there are times when we make these Holy Spirit-led decisions that make us a little nervous. And then those around us who are close to us don't even seem to care or notice how big of a deal this is. I had a moment like this when I had made a decision to go into full-time ministry. I'd share my call story before here, and we're not going to talk much about that, but what happened after that? It felt like I did something big and I had taken a huge step, and then when I began to tell some of the people around me, rather than be excited, they started asking questions like, "Really? Ministry? Are you sure? There's not a lot of money in that. How do you expect to support a family? You know that you're going to need to go back to school, right?" Now, there were supportive voices too, like family and things like that, but that's their job. Also, some of the most supportive people were the people that I worked with who were working the river with me, who were the furthest from God at that time. It's crazy, right? Now, I imagine that maybe this is how some of our graduates feel right now, because all of their hard work may not seem to matter in this time, but it does, and it's not any less than other years. And a side note, shout out to Amanda Hunter, who began an Adopt-a-Senior program in Urbana so that our high school seniors didn't feel like they were an afterthought or forgotten altogether in such a time as this. But if we turn our attention today to our biblical witness, we see that when we take the next faithful step, bluebirds don't often land on our shoulders, but more likely we are going to encounter some kind of resistance as we do the next right thing for our God-sized vision. In Esther chapter 2, we see how Esther's cousin, Mordecai, sees an open door by the king after he banished his queen, Vashti. Thus begins the Persian Empire version of The Bachelor that was this year-long way of finding a new queen for Xerxes, and in the end it turned out to be Esther. And so now that she's queen, one of God's people has been positioned to influence the kingdom. And a little while later after that, Mordecai is hanging out at the king's gate where a bunch of the business of the day was going on, and he heard that there was a plan by some guards to kill the king. Now let's pause just for a moment and think about the motive to act or ignore this threat. I imagine it would be like one of those moments where a little angel and a little demon just kind of pop up on your shoulders. You know, and you weigh the options. The king has a lot of enemies. He wasn't one of Mordecai's people. The next guy could be better. The list could go on about why Mordecai could have walked away. But because his identity and integrity come from God, he can't just let it go. Walking away wouldn't reflect well of the character of God, and Mordecai knows to be faithful to Yahweh, we must first do no harm, and that we need to do all the good that we can. And so he shares the plot, and the plot to kill the king is foiled, and then, you know, Mordecai gets all the credit and he lives happily ever after, right? Well, not quite. You see, a little while later, a guy named Haman gets promoted, and we learn that Haman is an Agagite. And Agagites are to God's people what Cowboys fans are to anyone who cheers for the Redskins, okay? You get with me so far? And Haman, with all the power of the kingdom, has this kind of power trip and makes everyone bow down before him. But one guy doesn't bow down, Mordecai, because his devotion to God won't let him. Now, Haman's ego is so big that he doesn't just want to punish Mordecai for this slight. But after learning that Mordecai is an Israelite, Haman wants to kill all of God's people, men, women, and children. And the king buys into it because Haman says to Xerxes that he will pay for the genocide out of all the loot that they steal from this band of rebellious people who are poisoning Xerxes' kingdom. Mordecai knows very well every God-sized vision meets resistance because it's bigger than the individual. And we can't be egocentric if we want to live our dream. And it's, so it's this with this mentality that Mordecai adopts Esther and positions her to be queen, speaks against injustice, refuses to bend the knee to a man who thinks that he's some kind of little god. And chapter 3 of Esther ends in this perfect kind of fade out. It reads like this: a copy of the text of the edict to kill Mordecai's people was to be issued as law in every province, made known to the people of every nationality so that they would be ready for the day. Spurned on by the king's command, the couriers went out and the edict was issued. In the citadel of Susa, the king and Haman sat down to drink, but the city of Susa was bewildered. We're going to pause there this week. We're going to leave Mordecai and Esther there because I want to go back and kind of be reminded of one thing and then give you 3 simple rules. And the reminder is this: that your God-sized dream is bigger than just you. And because of this, you will face resistance, but be courageous because the world needs your dream. And when resistance comes, we need to remember these 3 general rules that John Wesley gave to the first Methodists. He said, "Do no harm." We are showcasing a God who is for people, all people. And so let us do no harm to God's people or creation. Secondly, we are called to do all the good that we can. Leaning into our dream and chasing the Holy Spirit is the way that brings hope. And we see that even in Mordecai. And finally, we're called to fall more and more in love with God every single day. Don't bend a knee to the glamour of evil or bend the knee to those masquerading as a lesser God. When we do these 3 things, we can take that next faithful step to position ourselves to transform this world in such a time as this, being bold as Mordecai, courageous as Esther, and to remember that your dream matters and that the world needs it. So friends, this week, do no harm, do all the good that you can, and every day fall more and more in love with God so that we can have the courage to take the next faithful step. Let's pray. God of grace, we give you thanks for the example of Mordecai, for his bold faith, for the way that he chases your spirit in the most unlikely places, and that it takes him to places unimagined. God, allow us in the face of resistance to be the people that you call us to be, choosing that right way over the easy way in all things. God, it's in your Son's name that we offer this prayer, and emboldened by your Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks, guys.